Messiah King, we worship you, Lord of the Gentile and the Jew, ruler of every earthly king, master of all created things. Oh, blessed Lamb, who stands alone, the great high priest before the throne. Messiah King, we follow you. You are the way, the life, the truth. Hosanna to Messiah, Hosanna to the King, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to the King. Messiah King, we worship you, Lord of the Gentile and the Jew. Of all created things, exalted Son, obedient mediator of covenant, Messiah King, we honor you, Lord of the old and of the new. Hosanna to Messiah, Hosanna to the King, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to the King. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to the King. Hosanna to Messiah, Hosanna to the King. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to the King.
Said in Matthew 5, 11 and 12, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salts become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It's good for nothing except to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of man. Or as some of the other versions say, it's good for nothing but to be thrown into the manure pile. How many of you know that God's not a prude? God's not afraid to say some very hardball things. And we find ourselves in this hour in a very interesting situation. Most of the body of Christ in this nation has dropped into some kind of a strange slumber where we believe essentially this about the world. On the one hand, you have the kingdom of the world and all that it involves in the control and management of the planet. And next to it, you have the kingdom of God, which is concerned with heaven and the future. We've been taught to believe that these two parallel kingdoms, the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God, they run right next to each other, and our job as Christians is to execute raiding parties out into the kingdom of this world. We climb over the walls into the world, and you and I go out and we grab souls and we pull them in. And our job on this planet is go on these raiding parties and to get as many souls as we can out of the kingdom of this world and to stack them up at some kind of a spiritual bus stop for Jesus and get them ready for the future. Many of you believe this, and I'm not saying this to be critical, but I want to suggest that we've been brainwashed because the Bible does not teach that. Most of us have been taught to believe that the world system is a legitimate system, which has every right to exist and every right to run this planet, and that we Christians have no legitimate claim on shaping or changing, let alone running the way the world system operates and how it handles people. And we Christians, we go on these raiding parties as good evangelicals. Now there's one big problem with that here tonight, folks. In Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, I'm going to build a church, and the church that I'm going to build is going to do a 90-degree turn, and it's going to attack hell's gates. There'll be no more polite coexistence with an illegitimately worldly exploitative kingdom for which Christ shed his blood to destroy on the cross and to establish the kingdom of God. Once this reality penetrates your mind, you're in trouble, folks, because it's going to bring an end to polite Christianity. You will become a spiritual soldier.
Let there be praise. Blessing and honor, glory and power, riches and wisdom, with grateful praise, let all the nations of this world become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ and of his Christ. Then will the praises of the Lord silence the clamor of the lie. Jesus is
to the Almighty.
want you to say with me, I'm called to war, not peace. Now, the Bible can easily, and I've got no funny theology behind this, I'm very orthodox theologically, believe in the Chalcedon Creed and the Apostolic Creed, and the traditional teaching of the fathers. The Bible can conceptually easily be divided into two sections. Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 3:14, which is the creation mandate order of God and what God has called man to do and be. And then Genesis 3:15 through Revelation 22, which is the story of the war between two seeds. The seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent go to war in Genesis 3:15, and the rest of the Bible is the unfolding saga of God working through individuals, through Israel, and through the church, all the way up through the book of Revelation to the resolution and final victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Bible is about. There is no discharge in this war. This war is not over until it's over. You cannot make a private truce with the devil. There's no such thing as an agreement like, if you leave me alone, I will leave you alone. How many of you recognize that emotionally or psychologically you have tried to live in a truce with the devil? You've said, hey, look, I won't cause you too much trouble. You just back off from me. How many of you recognize that that's been a struggle in your life? And the Lord help the rest of you. Now I'm here tonight as one who I believe is called of God to inflict some real damage on the gates of hell. I want to hurt him. I am not at peace with the one who destroys souls, who wants to destroy my soul, who every time I give him the slightest inch, he grinds my face into the dirt and laughs at me and ridicules my Savior, my faith, and everything that I believe in. He is unmerciful. In fact, it's hard for me to relate to how unmerciful he is. He has no compassion. No compassion. You are at war with him because he is at war with you. And there is no peace. There is no peace with this adversary. When you die, you will find peace. Now, you may not like that. How many besides me didn't sign up for a war? This goes in that book that some of you have heard me talk about, I'm writing, called Things They Never Told Me. When I sign up for this outfit, I signed up to get saved. I signed up to go to heaven. I signed up to get healed. I signed up to get blessed. I signed up to get my marriage in order. I signed up to get all kinds of good things. How come the man never told me that I was signing up for a war? See, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost before I knew I shouldn't do that. That's true. If you had any idea of my background, I mean, you're talking about a blank sheet of paper. I was a communist when I came to Christ. That's the truth. I didn't have any theology. I didn't know any better. I got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And men told me that so I could speak in tongues. But that isn't what the Bible says. The picture that I have of why we get baptized in the Holy Ghost is so that he can drive us into the wilderness to be tested of the devil. The power of the Holy Spirit is not given to us to amuse ourselves or play games. The power of the Holy Spirit is given to us
for the war. A few tremors in the body of Christ. The real war is yet to begin. There is a major, major division coming in the church. And that division is going to fall over three primary issues. Number one is, what is the role of the Word of God in the culture? Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We Christians have practiced theological reductionism, to give a term to it, and we have changed the Word of God by our religious tradition so that it reads, Christians shall not live by bread alone. But the Bible does not say Christians. What did Jesus say? Man. That means, folks, and there are huge implications behind this truth, that means that God Almighty has only one standard for the entirety of humanity, and that standard is the Word of God, and that God holds everybody, saved and unsaved alike, accountable to the Word of God. Because man shall not live by bread alone. Not Christians, man. That means that it is the Word of God that is the standard by which Christ wants the policy of the nations established. How many of you can hear me if I say the world is not going to receive that truth anon with joy? There is a great battle. Now, I inject that that battle is going to be fought first in the church. Here in the United States, we have developed what's called polite Christianity. And polite Christianity has made an accommodative deal with our surrounding culture that we will not upset the apple cart by forcing the issue of calling our cities to the standards of the Word of God. Now, polite American Christianity, because it is concerned with being nicer than Jesus. Hello. We want to be nicer than Jesus. The pale of feet Galilean who blew through town like a withered leaf. How many of you know that is not who Jesus is? See, we want to be polite and nice, so we've made a truce with the world system, which, what does the Bible say? Friendship with the world is what? Enmity with God. Now, do you believe that the Holy Spirit is going to let the church, the true church, continue on in a truce with the world system?
Many shall war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them. For He is Lord of lords, and He is King of kings. They also shall conquer who abide with Him. For they are called the faithful and the chosen. Lord of lords and King of kings, He is conqueror and conquering. Seated on a white horse, He is crowned with many crowns. He is clothed in whitest linen, dipped in blood. A mighty army, dazzling white in robe and mount, for in righteousness He wages war as just.
Many shall war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for He is Lord of lords, and He is King of kings. They also shall conquer who abide with Him, for they are called the faithful and the chosen. Lord of lords and King of kings, He is conqueror and conquering. Thank you.
second major issue is this. Who owns the planet Earth? Is the planet Earth owned by the devil and the Antichrist? Or is the planet Earth owned by the Lord?
Trust that what you and I are about is getting into sync, into line, into step, if you will, with what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church today. What the Holy Spirit is saying to the church, I believe, is, church, you have let the world system put you under its foot. And you're ground under the foot of man because you've not acted as salt and light. You failed to attack the squatters who are running this world, a world for which Christ died, a world which when he ascended, he said, I have all power in heaven and on earth. How many of you here tonight believe that this planet does not belong to the devil or the Antichrist? Praise God, my Bible says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and all those who dwell in it. It's God's world, praise God, it's God's.
Islamic world. The planet belongs to the capitalist system. The planet belongs to the Marxists. The planet belongs to everybody but the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is it we believe that? Why is it we believe that he's got the power to save us, but he doesn't have the power to redeem on the earth? What kind of a cross and resurrection do we believe in? Do we believe what Paul the Apostle said in Colossians 2 when he said he's seated far above all principalities and powers? He made an open display of them. He spoiled them in front of everybody. He didn't do it in a corner. He did it in front of everybody. And now he has ascended on high. And he is waiting for the body of Christ to come into the reality greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Saints, get your tail out from between your legs. Don't run and hide and try and make truces. You don't need to make no deals with the devil or the world system. See, everybody's worried about the body of Christ getting involved in the political arena. They say, oh, don't touch the laws, don't touch politics, don't get involved out there. You know why they don't want us involved out there? Because if we get involved out there, we're challenging them on the grounds of what happened at the resurrection for the ownership of the planet. And the Holy Ghost, bless His holy name, is beginning to sweep a recovery of the theology of the cross and the resurrection in the body of Christ. And it has enormous implications.
We are the people who have been set free. We are the people of God. We are the people who have been set free. Set free. We are the people of God. We are the people who have been set free. We are the people of God. Set free from powers of wickedness. Redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. Released from the ruler of darkness. We are free from the enemy.
To the third issue, which is what I've already alluded to, and that is, what is the church supposed to do on this planet? Now, it is my deepest conviction that he who serves leads. Christ is in direct competition with Pharaoh, which is how I will refer to the world order. The body of Christ is in direct competition with Pharaoh as to which institution, the world order or the church, can best serve the needs of the people. Whoever serves leads.
Acts 13:36. For King David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid amongst his fathers, and underwent decay. Now, not only based on God the Creator, has God given you and I a destiny, something that He had in His mind when He created us that we would fulfill, not just in eternity, but in our time here on the earth. Not only has He put destiny in us as individuals, He has put destiny in us as a generation. There are two things that none of us had the opportunity to exercise any choice in whatsoever. The first one is who your parents are. No one here in this meeting had any choice about who your folks were going to be. God sovereignly chose your parents for you. The second thing He chose was when you were going to come to the planet. Every single one of us was carefully chosen as to when we would come to this planet. Now it's vital, if we are going to serve the purposes of God, that we be in synchronization with what God's intended purpose for the work He wants to do in this generation, in this hour. It's vital that we understand what God is doing so that the whole church, like a mighty battalion in a battle, can wheel into battle position so that it is moving where the Holy Spirit is moving. Vital. In Jesus' name, to stop thinking about your Christian walk only from the perspective of where you are at with God. And begin to think about not just where you are at with God, but that you would discern what God is doing in this generation and what God wants to do in this city. Now, I don't know what God's full mind, obviously I know, I don't know what God's full mind for this generation is, but the purpose of this generation must be incredibly important. Because only twice in human history Do we have a record of the enemy attacking the man-child seed the way he's attacked it in this generation? Once when Moses was born, and once when Christ was born. Satan knows something about the purpose of this generation that we haven't known, because he's killed over 100 million of our seed trying to keep this generation from even growing up, let alone discovering its destiny. How many of you know in the bottom of your gut that some real exciting things are destined for this generation? I thought gospel was a religious word. It isn't. It's a political word. The etymology of the word gospel comes from the edict of a political leader. A gospel was the news or the herald that a political potentate declared. In 34 BC, Caesar Augustus had his gospel, which in the Greek is called the kerygma, the non-negotiable declaration of a political sovereign. Augustus's kerygma was announced throughout the Roman world that actually reconfigured the entire calendar in Western society, beginning with his birth date. And his kerygma went out that what was going to cohesive the entire Roman Empire was the loyalty oath, the political loyalty oath of Caesar is Lord, Kyros. The gospel of Augustus was going to unite the entire Roman world with a political loyalty oath, so that when the Christians came along saying Jesus is Kyrios, that wasn't a spiritual affirmation as much as it was a political affirmation of treason and sedition against the Roman Empire, and that's why they went to the Colosseum. It wasn't because they were competing with the Roman gods, because quite frankly, religion in Rome was a very secondary issue. Their religion did not mean to them what religion means to us. They didn't care really about the Christians believing in Jehovah. That wasn't a threat. But when they broke the loyalty oath of the empire and began to proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord, that was political war. Now, how many of you can hear me if I say nothing has changed? We can preach Jesus Christ as Savior till the cows come home. Nobody cares, really. Nobody gets exercised. You're not going to see any bulging veins over Jesus' Savior. They humor us. They ridicule us. They humor us. But when you get a church that breaks the loyalty oath of the world system, and says, there is another king, one Jesus, you have just declared war.
There is another king, the king of every nation. There is another king, the Lord of all creation.
Why do the nations rage?
How many of you know that the Bible says Jesus is the King of Kings? It doesn't say He's King of Pastors. And there's a clue in that, folks. Come on. Because we're talking here about a gospel that cuts over this parallel kingdom and says, by the way, world, there is a king over your world order. And we're here to tell you about this king and the laws which he commands you and your government and your educational system and your philosophy and your ethics and your law and your science and all the rest of it. There is another view of reality that this King of Kings and Lord of Lords requires from you. Now, if you think I'm radical, there's another wave coming behind me 10 or 15 years from now that's gonna blow your mind. You won't be able to shut us up. You won't be able to put us away. You'll not be able to ignore us because the fire of heaven has somehow got into our hearts and we won't go away. We're dead men and dead women. And you can't kill a dead man or a dead woman. There's another generation of the body of Christ emerging of dead men and dead women who say, folks, the party is over. The truce has ended. We're not going to allow you to kill the babies. We're not going to allow you to destroy the family. We're not going to allow you to perpetrate a fiat money plan depression. We're not going to allow you to continue with your racism. We're not going to allow you to continue in every conceivable way to destroy the humanity for which God died and which He redeemed. We're not going to play the game anymore. Or as Dylan said in the 60s, hey honey, we ain't going to work on Maggie's farm no more.
The sky, we ford the rivers and know the desert's way. We chart the seas day to day to day. We are the people who choose the narrow gate that leads to life. The way is straight, just like a runner who runs to win the race. Just like a flint, we set our pace.
Between the seeds is on and it's real. But the good news is, greater is He that's in you than he that's on the other side of this battle. The good news of our gospel is that Christ is building a church which is going to spoil hell's gates, not only attack them, but overcome them, the very foundations, the ethical roots upon which the world system stands. The good news is that a corporate Moses is arising in the body of Christ. And he's going to begin to stand up and say to the world order, let my people go.